Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's the International Day of Happiness, Tony. What makes you happy?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Sunshine, ice cream, the suffering of my enemies. I like that.
Suffering of my, and that sounds like a line from a Quentin Tarantino movie where you're gonna shoot up the place. My goodness.
Quentin Tarantino, he didn't make many movies, but he made a few great movies, right?
Yeah, he did.
Not many. Not the most prolific guy, but boy, oh boy, is that stuff good. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Dodgers beat the Padres, Lincoln Riley stops coaching quarterbacks, and Jay Billis joins us for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with the University of Virginia, losing a play-in game last night to Colorado State and scoring only 14 points in the first half and 42 for the game, the entire game. Colorado State scored 67. Virginia was never close in the second half. They shot 25% from the field, 17.6% from three. Wilbon, you picked Virginia to win this game.
Yeah.
What does this loss say about UVA, the ACC, and the selection committee?
It doesn't say anything about anybody but Virginia. This is not my first time watching Virginia. I picked Virginia last night against all reason. Virginia's played this way, Tony, for the last 10 games, and literally the last six, like four of the last six, five of the last nine, they scored fewer than 50. I mean, why watch all the Virginia games? Tony Bennett's a terrific coach. He won a national championship 5 years ago in 2019. It doesn't say anything even about the overall quality of Virginia. It speaks to this year's Virginia team. Tony, 3 weeks ago, when I first started looking at Lunardi's brackets and bracketology, he had Northwestern versus Virginia in an 8-9. Well, we sort of fulfilled that. Virginia wound up in a play-in game because they played their way into that status. So, you know, this is not a surprise. It doesn't mean anything about the committee because they downgraded Virginia going in. You could have taken Pitt instead of them. You could have taken St. John's instead of them. You could have taken Indiana State instead of them. It doesn't speak to anything except Virginia's struggles, and they are struggling.
We are going to be in agreement on most of this. I do not quibble with Virginia being in the tournament. They won the whole thing, as you said, in 2019, though I will point out that four of the last 5 times they've played in the tournament, they've gone out in the first round, including the first number one to ever go out to a 16 University of Maryland, Baltimore County. But they can't shoot, Mike. They can't shoot.
Nope.
They missed 19 shots in a row in this game. And it's not that they can't shoot this year. They couldn't shoot last year. They don't shoot well. I don't blame the ACC at all. They're an outlier in the ACC. They have the lowest offense in the ACC. I mean, I think people have to... they have to recognize that. It's like Tony Bennett when he recruits says, I don't care if you can't shoot. If you play defense and you hustle, you can play for me. So, I don't hold anybody else responsible, much like you, except for them. Just give me 10 seconds on the other game last night because I watched Howard and Wagner. I did watch that game. And Howard made a terrific comeback over the last 3 minutes. They were down 13 to 14. They got it to where they had 3 shots to win in the last 8 seconds. None of the shots were close, but it was a lovely ending. I bring this up only because you had that one wrong, too, and I'm just saying.
By the way, Tony, one more note on Virginia as a PS about not shooting. They can't shoot free throws. I think they're one of the worst teams in the country, if not last, like 62% from the foul line. That's not characteristic of Virginia, even when they're not getting deep in the tournament.
Score.
So they gotta figure that out. Back to the drawing board on offense.
Score.
Yeah.
We move now to the tournament at large. After tonight's 2 play-in games, we will be deluged. 48 games in 4 days. Our heads will all be spinning with upsets and buzzer beaters. So let's take the long view. Wilbon, when the whole tournament is over, which team will be the winner?
Tony, we went through a lot of this on your podcast Monday morning. So I know it came as a shock to you in real time on your podcast. And I was not, like, indulged in any ayahuasca festival or anything like that when I picked, and I'm going to reiterate, double down on the University of Illinois. And, Tony, I'm going to go largely with a player because March can be dominated by a player. We've seen Carmelo Anthony do that. And I'm going to pick a kid who's, like, 21 or 22 years old, Terrence Shannon Jr., who's from Chicago. He's Lincoln Park kid. He's a Chicagoan. And Marcus Domask is another. These are a pair of 6'6 swing men. And they're sort of in that, you know, you look at modern basketball, and much less than point guard, shooting guard, small forward, you have a couple of kids, guys, who can do almost everything, if not everything. That's what they do. And Terrence Shannon Jr. is at times spectacular on his own. And I believe if Illinois can get past the first game or so, they can make a run, first game, they can make a run deep in this tournament. So I'm going with the University of Illinois out of course, the Big Ten.
Yeah, I would love to pick Northwestern just to see your head explode, but I'm not going to do
that. Yes, it would.
I'm going to be like most everybody else. I'm going to pick UConn. UConn won last year as a 4 seed with a 31-8 record. This year, they're 31-3. They're better. They were 10-1 in non-conference games, which is important because all these games in a big tournament are essentially non-conference games. The one game they lost early in the year was at Kansas when Kansas was pretty good. Most of the people who are playing big minutes on UConn this year were on the team last year. As you said, you went on the podcast and you picked Illinois. But you will concede, because everybody concedes this, that if UConn were to lose, that's an upset, which gets me to this point. The selection committee did no favors to UConn. The other highly seeded teams in that, in the East, are Iowa State, Illinois, and Auburn. That is the Big 12 tournament champion, the Big 10 tournament champion, the SEC tournament champion. That's a gauntlet to go through. Yeah. Plus, there were two Final Four teams, right? San Diego State and Florida Atlantic from last year. It seems to me that the committee wants to knock UConn out. I really have that feeling because that is a killer region, Mike. It's a killer.
Tony, real quick, I'm having a slight senior moment, but you, whose mom is it that picks tournament winners for you all the time? Somebody's mom.
Phil's mom.
Northwestern.
Phil Sampaglia. Phil's mom.
That's right.
Yeah.
Phil's
well,
mom.
There you go.
Pick
there
the Wildcats.
Yeah.
Huh? Huh?
Yeah.
All right.
No, she
I'm
also,
just saying.
I love her, but she pronounces Marquette as Marquette and and Duquesne as Duquesne. So,
that's all. By the way, Tony.
I love her.
I'm flying to I-95 to watch my Wildcats. We're playing in New York, a place called Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn,
playing
right?
There, Brooklyn. Playing there Friday.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah,
just
make
so
sure
know.
You get a shot before you go because it's I-95. You don't want to catch anything. Make sure.
Baseball's regular season started this morning in South Korea. I trust you watched some of it. The Dodgers had just tied the Padres at 2 in the 8th when Gavin Lux's chopper toward Jake Cronenworth went through the webbing of his glove. That's a Little League situation. Scoring the go-ahead run, Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani would add RBI singles. LA won 5-2. Tony, your takeaways from opening day in Seoul are what?
Okay, you rest yourself for a while because I'm going to tell a story. I
Good.
Knew that the game started at 6:05 Eastern, so I got up, I walked the dog, I got back by 7, I fed the dog, I pick up the clicker, and I say into the blue button, MLB Network. And I get MLB Network, and the Giants are on, and I know the Giants are not supposed to be playing in this game, so I figured, okay, I got the wrong day. I got the wrong day. So I go about my business. 15 minutes later, I take a chance, and I turn on ESPN, and there's the game, and I think, how stupid are you? This is your network. You didn't even know it was on. It's 1-1 in the fourth. Tyler Glasnow's pitching for the Dodgers. He walks two guys in a row, which is nothing like the 9 guys that the Padres walked. And then a guy lays down a perfect bunt. You got bases loaded, nobody out in a 1-1 game. They only get one run. Then they get out of the inning. So then I watch the top half of the next inning because it's Mookie, it's Ohtani, and it's Freeman in a row. 1-2-3. Mookie gets a hit. Ohtani hits the ball to the left side in the shortstop area. I think the third baseman is covering because they're in a shift. There's a fielder's choice. Then Freeman gets hit, but they don't score a run. And then I got to do the podcast. So I turn off the game. I'm glad the Dodgers won. I'm glad Ohtani had an RBI and two hits because I didn't want to sit here and hear you use your two favorite words, overstated, overrated, like the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm glad.
No, Tony. No, I wouldn't say that. And that batting order, I mean, I don't even know who the third member of the Ruth Gehrig order was. Lazzari, I don't know who that was. But this is the first time since, like, the Big Red Machine with Rose, Morgan, and Bench. Or Rose, Morgan,
yeah, that
and
was
Perez,
in 76.
Or Rose, Morgan, and Foster.
And
amazing.
Foster. And Foster. But the Phillies had it in 1983 because Morgan played there for a bit. Morgan, Rose, and Schmidt. But it's still, it's 40 years to have former MVPs, 1, 2, 3.
It's amazing.
It's very cool to see.
Amazing order. I'm not going to say that. I want to see them play. I'm going to go see them play.
Okay, good. Let's take a break. Still to come, which men's number one seed is the wobbliest? We're going to ask Jay Billis.
We'll also ask him if he's got a sleeper.
Do you do that? Do you press the blue button and talk into the clicker and say,
no, you got to get streaming.
MLB Network?
You got to get streaming. You look up there. If you don't see Mookie Betts' picture, you move on to something else.
Do you have a blue button in streaming?
Maybe.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's dig back into the men's NCAA tournament with our great friend and bald brother, Jay Billis. First question is very short. Maybe it's easy. Which number one seed, in your opinion, is the wobbliest? I love that word, wobbliest.
I think it's two, actually. It's Houston and North Carolina, just because of the second round games that they have. If Mississippi State beats Michigan State, that's a really tough game in the second round for North Carolina because they're big, strong, and they can defend at a high level. And same thing for Houston. They could wind up playing Texas A&M if they beat Nebraska. Texas A&M is the best offensive rebounding team in the country. They are tough, and they've got a great score in Wade Taylor the fourth. They played earlier in the year, played to a five-point game where Texas A&M made a huge comeback to have a chance to win the game. But I think those are really difficult second-round games for both Houston and North Carolina.
Well, Jay, we know Tony's going to obsess over the number one seeds. I'm going in a different direction and going to ask you about any sleepers you might like. And let me declare off the top, I am picking Illinois to go all the way, largely because of Chicago and Terrence Shannon. But tell us who, if anybody, you like among anything you deem as a sleeper.
I do like Illinois. I think Illinois has a great chance to get to an Elite Eight, if not a Final Four. But some of the ones further down the seed list, I think New Mexico, an 11 seed, was misseeded. I think they're much better than 11. And they've got a pretty good path to get to the Sweet 16 and perhaps beyond. I think Oregon is better than their seed. I'm not saying they were misseeded simply because they didn't have Anfali Dante for the first 10, 12 games of the season. He's played the last 20, and he's been outstanding. And they're playing their best basketball right now. I think Drake is a team to keep an eye on because they have Tucker DeVries. They're a very good shooting team out of the Missouri Valley Conference. And then I'd say James Madison, who won 31 games, beat Michigan State at the Breslin Center at Michigan State earlier this year in November. They've got major conference talent, and they've won all year long. They're one of those teams, they haven't just gotten on a hot streak. They've been winning since day one, and I like those kind of teams.
Gee, there aren't that many stars in men's college basketball this season. The stars have been on the women's side of the game, it seems for certain. But is there a player or two or more that you want people to see that you're glad folks are going to be able to get to see in March?
Oh, you're not taking me to negative town. There are no stars in college basketball. We're about to have Zach Edey win his second National Player of the Year in a row, and he averages 24 points a game. That's the most at Purdue since Glenn Robinson. But I think Terrence Shannon, I'll give you one per region. You mentioned Terrence Shannon Jr. He's averaging 23 points per game for Illinois this year. And he averaged 34 in the Big Ten tournament, including 40 against Nebraska, 36 in the title game. I'd say in the West, look at R.J. Davis of North Carolina. He's averaging 21 a game. That's the most since Tyler Hansbrough was there back in 2009. He's first-team All-America. Then in the Midwest, Dalton Knecht of Tennessee is a 21-point-per-game scorer. He's had 39 a couple times this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he did that in the tournament. He's kind of the Roy Hobbs of college basketball, a nobody from nowhere that came from Northern Colorado, and now he's a first-team All-American. And then in the South, I'll give you two that are teammates, Rob Dillingham and Reed Shepard of Kentucky. Kentucky's arguably the best offensive team in America. Their defense doesn't match up to their offense, but they've got a very nice path to an Elite Eight, if not beyond, behind Dillingham and Shepard.
Roy Hobbs reference. Very impressed with that, Jay. Roy Hobbs reference. I will get you out of here on this, but before I even ask the question, don't you think it's great that Wilbon considers Illinois like a sleeper team when they were three seed and the Big Ten tournament champions? Did you see how he did that? It's so absurd. It's so absurd.
Slip that in there.
I can't believe you actually answered that question. Let's go to this. Who are your final four picks at this point?
Well, Tony, I have four sleepers in the final four. The sleeper UConn.
Yeah, Illinois.
The Cinderella Arizona. Another sleeper in Houston. And then the ultimate sleeper in Purdue. I think Purdue's going to put down the baggage that they're carrying from the last three exits that they had to double-digit seeds. I like the path that they have, and I think and believe that they're going to play with more of a purpose, not a concern of trying not to lose, but I think they're going to play to win. And you guys remember when Virginia lost to UMBC, the first number one overall seed to lose to a 16 seed. They won the national championship the next year. Then Purdue loses to Fairleigh Dickinson last year. There's precedent for them getting there and winning it all. But I like UConn to win it all.
Yeah, I like – one of the things I like about Purdue is they've been together for a while. That's not the way it is in major college basketball.
I don't want UConn to win. They got to beat Northwestern to do that. I don't want to see them.
What an upset that would be, UConn over Northwestern. Yeah. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, guys.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, Lincoln Riley has stopped coaching USC's quarterbacks. Is that a smart move?
And Zion throws down. Huge two-hander. The Pelicans continue to roll. You wouldn't go along. You wouldn't wear your hoodie. Jay and I came appropriately dressed on Hoodie Wednesday before the tournament. And you wouldn't go along.
No.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Big Finish is brought to you by Enterprise.
Happy time, people. Happy 50th birthday on Friday, Marcus Camby. Camby went to the Final Four with Massachusetts and John Calipari in 1996 as the number one seed in the East. They lost to Kentucky in the national semifinals. Camby went on to Toronto in the NBA as the second overall pick. Calipari eventually went on to Kentucky where he won a national title. The speed bump along the way was that Camby was declared ineligible for taking money from sports agents and the Final Four appearance was vacated. Camby spent 17 seasons in the NBA, Defensive Player of the Year in 2007, and led the league in blocks four times. He was on the Knicks team that got to the finals in 1999, and his career averages were 9.5 points and 9.8 rebounds.
Tony, isn't that a much more distinguished career for Camby than you thought? I mean, 17 seasons, first of all, shocked me. And then Defensive Player of the Year, I mean, I'm around the league a lot. And a part of that was in Toronto when people weren't paying nearly as much attention. But part of it was in New York where everybody was paying attention.
Happy anniversary, Texas A&M. On this day 8 years ago, led by senior point guard Alex Caruso's 25 points, the third-seeded Aggies rallied from 12 down with only 35 seconds to play in regulation took 11 seed Northern Iowa into overtime, then double overtime, and advanced to the Sweet 16. This improbable comeback is the largest rally in the final minute in NCAA history. Caruso finished his run at College Station as A&M's all-time leader in assists and steals. Although he was undrafted, Caruso landed on the Lakers as a pivotal part of their 2020 title run in the bubble and was named to the NBA's all-defensive team this past season in Chicago.
Yeah, Caruso with hair is a little distracting, but I love having him in that Red Bulls uniform, Tony. And listen, since all the injuries, Zach LaVine, Patrick Williams, and Ball, the Bulls can get back to 500 after starting 5-14, and Caruso's a big, big part of that. Need him healthy.
Happy trails to coaching quarterbacks for Lincoln Riley. The coach who has produced three Heisman-winning quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Caleb Williams, is shifting assistant coach Luke Eward to quarterbacks coach and concentrating on fixing a broken defense. USC was 8-5 last season. Its defense ranked an awful 118th out of 128 teams in points allowed, 34.4 a game. USC ranked an almost equally awful 116th in yards allowed, 432.8 per game. So Riley opened USC's spring practices by watching his new defensive staff. He's trusting Eward, a former quarterback and the brother of former quarterbacks Brock and Damon Eward, to develop a quarterback. Speaking of quarterbacks, today is Caleb Williams' pro day at USC.
Let me tell you something. People got on my man Caleb Williams because he cried after a game they lost last year. I'd cry, too, if I had to play with Lincoln Riley's defense. They stunk. No big-time school ought to ever have a defense like that would sabotage that offense in Caleb Williams. So I don't want to hear that junk. Lincoln Riley needs to be accountable for that defense.
Big finish, here we go. Zion had a huge dunk as the Pelicans beat the Nets for their seventh win in eight games. Is that significant?
Tony, they could pass the Clippers in the Western Conference standings. That 4-5 spot could be important. They're playing well, the Pelicans. With Zion, newly signed Saints pass rusher Chase Young is going to have a neck procedure and miss part of camp. Is that a big deal?
He was hurt a lot in Washington, but he played 16 games this past year. Marvin Harrison Jr. chose not to work out at today's Ohio State Pro Day. What does that mean?
Nothing. If you didn't see Marvin Harrison play, you weren't paying attention. You don't even need to be allowed to watch him now. What were you doing September, October, November, the last couple of years? Offensive tackle Caden Proctor transferred from Alabama to Iowa earlier this offseason. Now appears to be transferring back to Alabama. Your thoughts?
Transfer portal, it's fabulous, like hailing a cab. Take it over here. Oh, no, take me over there. Last one, Giannis is out for tonight's game at the Celtics. Are you disappointed?
Yes, I'm disappointed, but I'm told not to worry. Doc Rivers says it's not a big deal. They do expect him back. It's not a real injury. I hope he's right.
We're out of time. We will try to do better next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. We're off until Monday, knuckleheads. And now, here's SportsCenter.